A former senior aide to Bill Clinton has accused Northern Ireland politicians of an abysmal abdication of leadership 20 years after the IRA ceasefire, the anniversary of which falls this weekend. Nancy Soderberg, a deputy national security advisor and herself a key player in the US role in brokering peace, also said that politicians in the North were, quote, too stuck in the past and needed to focus on building a Northern Ireland that can thrive. She's been telling us more about this. First, she told Roisin Duffy about the crucial months leading up to the IRA ceasefire back in 1994.
Well, we had decided that it was worth testing the proposition of whether the IRA was prepared to give a ceasefire, and obviously there was quite a great deal of skepticism. The British government, the entire U.S. government, except for the president and a few advisors, Gene Kennedy Smith, who was ambassador at the time, but largely no one thought that the IRA was prepared to give a ceasefire. I, however, was hearing differently from people on the ground that there was actually something happening, and I thought it was worth testing, as Bill Clinton had, since his days as an Oxford student when the Troubles began, had always thought the U.S. had a role to play. And you have to remember, back then, the U.S. had committed to the British not to interfere in what was considered an internal British affair of the Northern Ireland conflict. And yet Bill Clinton felt that a close ally of both Ireland and Britain could play a useful role there. But finding out what that right role was not at all obvious. And it turned out that the Irish-American community, the kind of hardline IRA supporters, were a crucial piece of convincing the IRA to move forward into the historic ceasefire that they did. We had granted Gerry Adams a visa in January, to great uproar. John Major didn't talk to Bill Clinton for a week, but we kept hoping that that would turn into a ceasefire. By August, frankly, I had given up, and I was on vacation and kept getting these frantic calls from Gene Kennedy Smith and then eventually Albert Reynolds, who was then prime minister, saying that the only way we could get the ceasefire was to have Irish America on board. And the hardline Joe Cahill, who was notorious among law enforcement agencies and probably about as hardline as you can get, said they wanted to come and have a visa, and we just all said flat no. Let's see the IRA ceasefire first. And it wasn't until Albert Reynolds personally got on the phone and said, this is real, read me the IRA statement under deep confidentiality. And I was just blown away by the frankness of the statement, and clearly there was something going on. So Clinton was on vacation in Martha's Vineyard at the time, and we spoke to him and agreed to test it, and then shortly thereafter, the ceasefire, the first ceasefire, didn't last. It broke down in February, but it was the beginning of the end of the violence, and the loyalists followed shortly afterwards. So it was quite a dramatic moment. It's hard to believe it was 20 years ago.
You're now accusing them, or you're saying that the political leadership in the North on all sides, I presume, is abysmal, that there's a real failure of leadership.
First, you have to recognize there have been enormous gains, and the leaders on all sides have made real compromises and moved things forward. You do have the ceasefires holding. You do have a government in Northern Ireland. You have made some progress on policing. But I'm stepping back and saying, look, it's been a generation now. And what is it that people are still arguing about? Rather than the parades and the flags and all of the symbols of the past, which fuel the victimhood nature of this conflict, which there's plenty to go around on all sides, they need to be putting that behind them. I think the Richard Haass proposals were the right way forward. I think most people on this side of the Atlantic would agree that those should have been accepted. I think ultimately they will essentially be accepted if the leadership can come forward. And there, I think the unionists are the ones that really need to take a hard look at why they haven't accepted those. But on all sides, they should be thinking more about how do you get investment? How do you get the best educated population in the world? How do you get rid of the segregated schools? How do you begin to put Northern Ireland into the 21st century so that prosperity will thrive there? They have everything to be part of an integrated Europe. And as they integrate into Europe more, whether they're part of Ireland or the Britain, it's going to matter less and less. And as they can get high-tech jobs and be a center of growth for that hot sector, or whatever the sector that emerges there. But they need to be focused on trade, investment, economics, and education, and the future of the 21st century. And it's time. It's been a generation. So they need to be bolder in how to deal with the past and accept the past proposals and begin to build a united future. And the rest will work itself out on the politics. And yes, there'll be strong traditions in the nationalist and the unionist side, and that's to be cherished and honored on all sides. But it shouldn't hold back the education of their children and attracting trade and investment.
There are those who say that that's an incredibly tall order. The reality is you've got to keep your own side on side, and that can be very difficult indeed.
That's what leadership's about. And it's also about education. So long as you have 90% of the next generation growing up in segregated schools, you're not going to give that next generation a feel of being part of a united community with two strong traditions. There's still the peace wall is still up. They're still learning to live separately as opposed to together. And I would have rather have seen more integration over the last generation. So I think it's time to begin to look at what do you want the what is the type of Ireland you want the next generation to live in? Is it going to be a segregated one or a prosperous, united, integrated one? And I think this generation of leaders has taken it as far as they could within their own political context, that they need to foster a next generation where you have a united community that has two integrated strong traditions, and you're not teaching the next generation a hatred of the other side.
Do you think Gary Hart will take over where Richard Haass left off? Is that what's going to happen?
I honestly don't know. I've not spoken to him, and so I'm not in a position to comment on his trip. I have the utmost respect for him, and I think he will engage in a very constructive way. But I've not spoken to him, so I'm not really in a position to comment on where his trip's going to end.
In a sentence, what would you be saying to Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson?
Well, I think to Peter Robinson, they should accept the Haass proposals. And to Martin McGuinness and others is, let's begin the conversation of for the next generation of how do you get the 21st century to help build prosperity in Northern Ireland. They should be talking about trade, investment, integrating schools and the future. They've got to deal with the past and move beyond it.
Nancy Soderbergh talking to Roisin Duffy.